just about the best sight ever, I must say, seeing these little ones in front of you all, and then being able to exchange, offer, and receive blessings from the children. Just really, really glorious. I'd like to read with you from Psalm 146, and we'll be reading verses 5 through 10, and then Luke 1, 46, the second part of verse 46 to 55. Blessed is he and blessed is she whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, the maker of the heavens and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations, praise the Lord. And from Luke. These words that we could probably all just close our eyes and say them out loud, right? Or many of us could. They're deeply familiar as a part of the story that we live into and that we hear during Advent each year. But maybe that's the first time you've ever heard this. And so I'll just tell you that this is what Mary says or sings right after the angel has visited her and told her about the son that she will have. And so Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." This is the word of God. Yeah, let's just run through that once more. It's a really traditional response. I'll say, "This is the word of God," and then all of us together will say, "Thanks be to God." So this is the word of God. Thanks be to God. There we go. Just to mention, because I don't think I said that yet, and there's perhaps some of us that have not met each other, or I haven't met you, and that is that a little bit about where I come from. I've been Christian Reformed from before I was born, and have lived in the Edmonton area in St. Albert since 1998 and served there as a church pastor. And then about 7 years ago, started a process that involved transitioning from church ministry and into chaplaincy. And so now I work as a chaplain in your neighborhood, down the street from you, for the Salvation Army in transitional housing and in recovery. So it changes how I see many things. As I turned down 96th Street, I saw somebody leaving the liquor store on the corner with a case of beer, and I looked over and I thought, "Oh, I know that guy." Because I do, and I have some sense of the journey that he's living in and the story that he's living in as well. And so that's a little bit about where I come from and where I live these days and how I spend my time. So one of the gifts of tradition and of special calendars and of assigned themes of this pattern that we walk through each year is this all-important reminder that we are sort of drawn up into a story that is far bigger than any one of us or even than all of us together. It's a story that's far larger and longer than our own. And I invite you for just a moment to imagine all of us as kittens. So we're all kittens, and we're snagged by the scruff of our kitty cat necks. You know how mother cats carry them? So we're all kittens, we're snagged by the scruff of our necks, and we're lifted up. And so we're lifted up above the winter weather, up above provincial and federal and international politics. We're lifted up out of the fatigue that lots of us feel as things have ground on so long. As you hear about COVID's wave, it's like the wave that they do at the Oilers game, right? It's like the wave is coming around again of COVID. And that feeling that lots of us live with these days, that edgy feeling of being depleted or been through too much. For some of you, you'll have this feeling of, oh, it's been so long without a pastor. And there's good news. and lived all that to everything. And so then our theme today, this theme that says light a candle for joy, says about all of our concerns, just set them aside, lay them down or offer them up. Because when you're lifted up like a kitten, then I imagine that your little kitty cat claws, they sort of go like this. And all the stuff that we've been holding on so tightly, it all sort of drops to the ground. So just drop everything that you've been clutching really tightly. And here our assigned theme this morning is joy. Ah, joy, not joy, but joy. Like just real solid joy, hope-filled joy. The joy that the Lord has. The joy of the Lord. Our text this morning are assigned readings from the lectionary. They invite us together to imagine joy, to honor the gift of joy and the giver of joy, to be humbled that in this mysterious movement of God, that God might use us to bring God's own joy into the world. And then finally to accept the challenge of putting flesh on joy's bones. So here we go. The first words that we heard this morning, as we used them as a call to worship, come from Isaiah's dream in chapter 35. And in this dream, all of creation celebrates. In this dream, there is this great risk of faith. This risk that says there's something glorious and beautiful and wonderful. Do you dare step into it? Right? That's how that dream lives in Isaiah. And this dream is a dream of healing for all people and for all creation. In Isaiah's dreaming of it, the dream is future. It's a dream that's out in front. It's still waiting to come true. And through Isaiah, God is saying, I have a dream. I have a great, joyful dream. And I wonder if I wonder a couple of things. I wonder if we will hear this and then allow the dream to shape our own. Will challenge us to bigger dreams. Will encourage us to strengthen our own feeble hands and our wobbly knees. Will bring sort of fresh blood pulsing through our minds to have imaginations that are bigger than they have been. Our trembling hearts so that we live into the dream and it becomes real in the places where you and I have been trusted to have anything at all to say about how life goes. And I wonder, as we heard Isaiah's dream, I wonder what your own might sound like for your own life or for the community that you live in. You know, I dream, I can't help it, I dream of a day and a time where every single person in our community has a safe, warm bed to lie down in at night. You know, there's no need for anybody at all. Like someone's done this. If you might remember, Tracy Chapman has a song about the revolution. And she talks about these people sleeping in the doorways of the armies of salvation, which is a cultural reference to the Salvation Army. And I have to tell you that we have a shelter built on the outside of our building downtown. Really enterprising guy, I know him. And he's figured out that a really good spot is to build a shelter in the winter in Edmonton outside a dryer vent. Ingenious. Ingenious, you know. And it's also on the LRT platform. So it's going to be only a matter of time before his shelter gets taken down. And I tell you, I dream of a time when nobody will live with the kind of pain that makes them stop by a liquor store at 9 o'clock in the morning for a case of beer. Because underneath addiction, we know, is pain. And so I wonder what your dreams might be. And I just invite you, maybe today, later on downstairs, actually, everybody's invited for coffee. That's a thing here. And so if you're brand new here, you're invited for coffee downstairs. And maybe over coffee, or maybe later on today, tell someone else a dream that you might have to see something happen in your community or in your life. So there's the dream of joy. And then Psalm 145, 146 are psalms. And all the psalms' starting point is that God is the great king over all of creation. And a key question about any leader, of course, is what makes them happy? Because if you're the leader, you get to sort of arrange things in such a way that will make you happy. So what is it that God gets excited about? And in Psalm 145 and 146, the answer is that it is the joy of the Lord to forget nobody. That it is the joy of God to ignore no one. That it is the joy of our Lord to have compassion on all that he has made. That God is full of abundant goodness. That he lifts up those who fall. You know, harsh. I feel like I come here. I actually ran into Janneke shortly after the last time I was here. And I said, sometimes I wonder whether any of the stories that I tell you, like the bridge is too far. So this week, a couple days ago, out of my office, I saw somebody fall, you know, because someone had given him some fentanyl. And so looked out of my office, saw him fall. And some of us went out there with naloxone and praise God, he was back on his feet, helped by some firefighters and on his way to receive treatment. God's joy is to uphold those who fall, to lift up those who are bowed down. He upholds the cause of the oppressed. God's joy is to find hungry people and give them food. The Lord sets prisoners free. The foundational story, the engine that drives the whole entire Old Testament, is the story of God setting people free from Egypt. And it tells us that it is God's joy to set human beings free. So we must have known who would have written these Hebrew spirituals, which are the Psalms. Well, it would be people who felt judged their whole life. People who had fallen repeatedly. People who carried heavy loads through their lives. People who have been oppressed. People who know what it's like to have no money. You know, I think I haven't known what that's like since I was about 8 years old. You know, and we went to the Royal Bank in Woodstock, Ontario, and I got to have my first bank account. Put $25 in there because it didn't work out that we were given a pony as kids, and the pony was like aggressive and nasty and bit us. So we sold that. We sold that pony, and all of us as kids, five of us, we each got $25. I think that's what went into my bank account first. I got a little passbook. I have not been without money since. And there are people, they live around us, who are completely flat broke. They have nothing. And so these psalms would have been written by people who knew what that felt like, or to be hungry, or to be too stressed to be able to eat. And then they felt compassion and understanding. And then someone reached out a hand and helped them up. And then someone offered to share their load. And then somebody called the cops and got the oppressor arrested. And someone invited them to coffee or to their table and did all of this in the name of the Lord. And so then they're just caught up in the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is to see life lived, fully alive, fully welcomed. And our invitation this morning in this Advent theme of joy is that you and I, all of us, are invited to join in, to live into, to experience, to celebrate, and to sing joyfully to God together. Where's the guy that used to say amen all the time? I miss him this morning. Because he would be just amening like crazy here. Which brings us, and any one of you can take his place. Which brings us to Luke 1, and Mary, and Mary's joy. Many people have said this before, that the tradition has often said that Mary's song, it's got a Latin word for it, the Magnificat, and it's like Mary's just, you know, just really, really mellow and chill and super humble. But if you listen to it, it makes no sense with the words, right? Mary's joy is a joy where she stamps her feet and she sings it loud and proud that God, her Savior, has drawn her up into his plan. And through Mary, God is doing some crazy things. And so I just invite you to imagine Mary's great big pregnant belly is like a bowling ball through which God is knocking the proud people down like pins. Through Mary, God is upsetting proud apple carts. Through Mary, God is shifting the tectonic plates so that cracks appear in all the theological certainties, like cracks in LRT pillars. It might be too soon to say that. Through Mary, God is answering deep physical, emotional, relational, and spiritual hunger. All of this as Mary, in humility, says yes to the invitation of God. And so Mary's joy is the joy of the wonder that we are used by God. And so the wonder of bearing witness to what God is doing through us. And it is a real thing. I work a lot with guys in very early recovery, and so think groggy, foggy, filled with pain. One of our guys had stayed with us before, and then he moved in the spring or summer into a tent in the River Valley for 4 months. In his despair, his addiction got its hooks into him really severely, and he lost 70 pounds. You know, he was almost unrecognizable when his camp got busted up and he came back to our door weeping. And people thought, it's like in the story of Ruth. You know, they say, who is this? Who is this person? We can't recognize her. And he was miserable and miserable to be around. And so he stayed with us and after 2 months of safety and 3 meals and all the snacks that he needed, For the first 3 weeks, I think, he was constantly cold and always hungry. He got the food he needed and a supportive staff and prayer. And then a week or so ago, we got to see him get into a cab and go off to continue recovering in a treatment program. And he fist bumped his friends as he went on his way to pursue salvation, right? To come back to life again. Yeah. Our joyful God, our God whose joy is to see humans set free and live, our joyful God uses us so that we too may share in this joy at lifting up and at setting people free. The last assigned text, we didn't read it, that the lectionary offers is Matthew 11. And it's from that story where John the Baptizer is wondering if Jesus really is the one to follow. And it's no wonder John is questioning because he's in prison. And he sends his disciples to Jesus with the question. He says, you know, we just want to know, are you the one? Or should we look for somebody else? Should we expect someone else? And what Jesus points to joy. Jesus points, he says, look, listen to this great wave of joy that is breaking out wherever Jesus goes. The blind are sight-reading songs of joy. The lame, Jesus says, are dancing for joy. Those who have leprosy are joyfully hugging their families again. The deaf are able to hear, "I love you." The dead are raised. And then the last line of that passage is a summary of what Jesus says are indicators. He says, the good news is enfleshed to the poor. You will be used to hearing that as the good news is preached to the poor. I will just say to you, my friend Yako, who has some credentials, more credentials than simply being my friend, but my friend Yako taught me, as I will now teach you, that famous passage about the poor having the good news preached to them is from Isaiah, and that the word in Hebrew there means enfleshed. Of course it does. Because when we are poor, we don't need someone coming along necessarily and preaching at us. And I say this respectfully to any preaching that's offered graciously and kindly in the name of Jesus. What we need is someone who enfleshes, who embodies, who incarnates the good news. And so a person who comes to us when we are poor and sits and listens and waits until they have an understanding of what it is that we need, and then from their resources says, here, a job, socks? Oh yeah, we got socks. Gloves? Sure. What is it that you need? And then so we enflesh, we put bones on the good news for the poor. And so, my brothers and sisters, on this assigned theme of joy, because it's Advent again, I trust that God invites us today to dream the dream of joy with the prophets, to dream the dream of joy with him, and then to take whatever the courageous step might be. To honor the great king, the king over all, and join the songs, join the chorus of joy. And then to open ourselves to the wonder of being used by God to bring joy. And finally, to bring joy to life. To bring joy to life for those in need. That's all I got. And God's people said, Amen.